Vasistha-bhavetu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu, ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Angushta matra purushaha, madhye atmanitishtati, ishano bhuta bhavyasya, natato vichagupsate, etad vaitata. Angushta matraha purushaha madhye atmane tishtati ishanaha bhuta bhavyasya na tataha vijagupsate etat vaitat. The angushta matraha purushaha, the purusha, the atma, the self. Here they give a nice etymology for that, we won't do that. It says the angushta, the self, which is the size of the thumb. Angushta is the thumb. Matra means merely the size, like the size, the matra, like from praman, pramatra. It is the size of the thumb. Okay, the self, which is the size of the thumb, abiding in the middle, madhye atmani, in the middle of the self, of the body. Here atma means body. So the purusha is the atma. So angushta matraha purushaha madhye lokarav 71713 1 tishtati. So the purushaha tishtati abides madhye in the middle, in the body, in the middle. In the middle of the body. Okay. And it is in the size of the thumb. Okay. Then it says ishanaha bhuta bhavyasya. So that angushta, that purushaha, that abides in the body, the size of the thumb, is isha, the Lord, bhuta bhavyasya, the Lord of the past bhuta and the future bhavya. So that self, which abides in the body, that self which is the size of the thumb. Abides in the body, that is the Ishanaha, the Lord who is Buddha Bhavyasya, the Lord of time, of space, of past and future. Na tataha vijagupsate. Therefore, na vijagupsate. There is no desire, there is no need to protect it. So this is incomplete. Na vijagupsate, it need not be protected. That's all it says. But it's referring back to verse 5. So if I go back to verse 5, and I know that because what he says here, in reading the commentary, which we'll do a little bit of now, he says, natat ityadi purvavat. Natat, thereafter, it does not ityadi purvavat, just as was said before. Mm. You have to add all this on. And where you're adding it from is from verse 5, and it's really to be found in the commentary, in Shankara's commentary. This is fine too. For you. In this verse, you have the same line, ishanam bhuta bhavyasya na tattaha vijagupsate etad vaitat. There even, he's not really talking about the body, but it's included in the first line. He says, the one who, yaha imam madhu idam, madhu adam, the one who eats honey. The one who eats honey is the one who's receiving the karma pala. So we did this first, but I just want to show you something about it. He who knows Veda, yaha Veda, he who knows Atmanam, imam Atmanam, this self, which is the one who's receiving the karma pala, madhu adam, jivam, he who knows this self, which is the jiva, the one abiding inside of me, okay, but that's the one, the pratyagatma, he who knows that self as Ishanam, as the Lord of the past and the future, then he says, netataha, therefore, because of knowing that, that this self is Ishwara, right, because of knowing that, therefore, na vijagupsate, he has no need to protect. So, but that's all he says. Mm-hmm. So Shankara fills that in his commentary. And what he says is, tataha, right? Tataha means therefore, or because of that. And that means therefore because of what, you want to say? So he says, tataha tadvijnanat, because of the knowledge of that. So he says, tataha tadvijnanat urdvam, after the knowledge of that. Mm-hmm. So tataha means after that, you know, or therefore, after this has taken place, or after that, mm-hmm. after what? After having gained the knowledge of that, then atmanam, the self, na vijagupsate, he does not need to protect. After having gained the knowledge mm-hmm. that the pratyagatma is the self of Ishwara, mm-hmm. who is the Lord of past and future, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where this is fulfilled here. So then he says... this is interesting. I'm still in verse 5, just to bring this back to your mind. He says, na vijagupsate means na gopiyatum. He does not, na gopiyatum ichati. He does not have a desire to protect. He doesn't have a desire to protect because the self doesn't need any protection, right, as the atma. So he does not have a desire to protect. But why? He says, abhaya pratyatvat, because he has gained abhaya, mm-hmm. that state of fearlessness. Mm-hmm. The only thing that it can enjoy complete fearlessness is the atma, is the self, because there's no other thing. If there's, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, there's a little verse that says, even if there is the slightest lesha, I mean the slightest little tiny amount of duality, there is fear. Yeah, there's that. Then yeah, there's fear.
So protect, could it also be like save?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, could be like save. Protect the self from mm-hmm. any type of hurt or killing. Let's see if there's anything. Now he says, just to make it clear, yavat he, because yavat, as long as bayam adyastaha anityam atmanam manyate, as long as he considers the self as anitya, as time bound, right? Bayam adyastaha, then there will be fear. As long as the self is considered to be time bound, there will be fear. Tavat, so tavat gopiyatum ichati atman, and for that, as long as he considers that, so long will he desire to protect the self. Right? So as long as the self is seen as time bound, for that length of time he'll desire to protect the self. And so now here we are in verse 12 with the Angushta Matra. And here in the Purusha, who is the size of a thumb in the middle of the body abiding, That angushta matra purushaha is the Lord of the past and the future. That being so, when that is the case, he does not have a desire to protect or to save. Right? So now, just to take a little quick look at Shankara here in his commentary, he says, he starts with the first word of the verse, angushta matraha. Angushta matraha means angushta parimana. Parimana means size. It's a synonym, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got the matra being a synonym as of parimana. So the angushta matra means the size of a thumb. So then he takes that size of a thumb and he goes, okay, the angushta parimanam, what is it that is the size of a thumb? This is in two accusative singular. Angushta parimanam hridaya pundarikam tad chidra varati antakarana upadhihi. Okay, so just get this first. It's not that Atma is the size of a thumb. Okay, that's not what it is. But from the standpoint of the upadhi, he says here, this angushta parimanam, the size of a thumb, is hridaya pundarikam, the lotus of the heart. Okay, the lotus of the heart, which is the size of the thumb. Now we have to go further. Tat chidra varati, that which is existing in that hole of the heart, in the hole of the heart, in the hole of that, in the center of that, which in the center of what? In the lotus of the heart. There is this hole, this opening, which is the size of a thumb, he says. And so then he gives, well, what do you mean? So he says, angushta matraha, this size of a thumb, is angushta matra vamsha parva madhye varati ambaravat. It is like ambara. It is like space which is in the middle of a section of bamboo. Vamsha is bamboo, and vamsha parva is, you know how those bamboos have these little knots going through? So in one of the section of one of those is like the size of a thumb, okay? So that's the angushta matra that we're talking about, which is to be found there in the lotus of the heart. And so the yogis actually, and even Swamiji taught us this in meditation, you can, when you're contemplating, where do you place your mind? So the mind can be placed, sometimes it's placed between the eyes. It can often be placed in this, in the heart. I think it's a little bit to the right side of the heart, it's just right here in the heart. That's where you focus your mind. Sometimes he's given meditations where you put your mind on top of your, on above your head, or in the middle of the room. So it's just, there's a place to put your mind. Okay. So here the mind is actually put in the heart chakra, you know, which is the hridaya, you know, pundarika, the lotus of the heart. You put, you in reference to the upadhi, right? And the buddhi is considered to rest in the heart, not in the here. It rests in the heart. And so you focus your mind in that sthanam, in that place. There's another interesting thing about it. So there's just this little space, and they're just trying to make you see. Just imagine that space and put your consciousness there, put your mind there, hold it there. And it really is probably exactly the heart chakra. And so, actually, even though we don't pay much attention to the chakra system, that's more for yoga and meditative experiences and things like that. But they are energy centers. And they are also kind of where the sukshma sharira is really hooked into the physical body. And so that it's because of the energy in these chakras, that's a natural place, comfortable place for the mind to be drawn to. It's not that you, where's my chakra? Where's that? Yeah. It's what you look for, if you're looking for anything, but they are directing you now, okay? So you look, there's a comfort level. There's a place for the mind, there's a place to just rest in this area. If you're doing in the third eye also, there's a place that pulls you, yeah? And you just put your mind there. So that's what he's talking about. So this angushta matra purusha, the purushaha, who's resting in this which is the size of the thumb, which is there in the abiding there in the middle of the body. That purusha is ishanaha. So you have purushaha, ishanaha, 1-1, right? 1-1-1-1. So that means that the purushaha is the ishanaha. That purusha abiding here at the heart is the Lord of past and future. And so having recognized that, one minute. Do that last line. There's another nice little sentence here. He says, He says, and this is chapter in the fifth verse. He says, yada tu, but when nityam advaitam atmanam vijanati, he says, but when one knows, vijanati, one knows the self, which is advaita, which is non-dual, and nityam, free from time, tada then, kim kaha kutaha va gopayitum ichet. Who should he protect? Who should he want, desire to protect? Who should he desire to protect? So it says, whom should he protect? And who should protect? And from whom should he protect? So who should protect whom from what? Who should, one should desire to protect, who should be the one desiring to protect whom and from what? Right. So he says, etad vaitat iti purvah, as before. I just wanted to read you that because this is going all the way through. So now again, angushta matra vamsha parva madhyavarti ambaravat. So that one is abiding there like space. Like space, varti exists in the middle of a piece of a section of bamboo, which is the size of a thumb. The purushaha, the purusha like that, is existing in the space in the heart, in that small angushtamatra size space in the heart. So he says, who's existing there? The purusha. So now we need to know a nice little definition of the purusha. There are different definitions, two or three different definitions of purusha for as atma. This one is nice. They're all nice, but this is interesting. Purnam anena sarvam. Sarvam, everything, all, purnam, past passive participle, is pervaded by this. The purusha is the one by whom everything is pervaded, everything is filled. Purnam comes from the root pra, which means to fill. Purnam is that which is filled. There's no more filling that can be done. It's full. So purna often means full, that which is full. So here it's filled. Everything is filled by this, all pervasive. So that's the meaning of the purusha. So this purusha, who is all pervasive, that fills and pervades everything as the adhishtana, it is that purusha that one is recognizing in this little lotus of the heart, okay, and recognizing it as the Lord of the past and future. Then he says, so the one who madhye atmani sharire, atmani means sharire tishtati. He abides in the Atmani, in the body, sharire. Yahatam atmanam ishanam bhutam bhavyasya viditva na tat ityari purva. So here he says, viditva, having known this self as the Lord of the past and future, then na tat taha. After having known that, what does he have to protect? Nothing. That's where it says, you see where it says ityadi purvavat? Mm-hmm. That's like before, the rest is like mm-hmm. what was said previously, especially in that verse 5. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this next verse tells a little bit more. Angushtamatra purushaha. Angushtamatra purushaha jyotiriva dhumakaha jyotiriva dhumakaha ishano bhutabhavyasya ishano bhutabhavyasya sa evadya sa ushvaha sa evadya sa ushvaha etad vaitata angushtamatraha purushaha jyotihi iva adhumakaha ishanaha bhuta bhavyasya Saha eva adhyaha. Saha eva adhya sa u saha u shwaha etadvaitata. So here he says again, that purusha, the one who pervades, is all pervasive, that purusha, that is the size of the thumb from the standpoint of the upadi, right? From the standpoint of the upadi, that's the size of the thumb, is jyotihi, is light, jyotihi eva. It is like a light or a flame, which is a dhumakaha. It has no smoke. Mm-hmm. It's like a flame that, see, that negates dhumakaha. Mm-hmm. It's like a flame which is free of smoke. So this atma, this purusha, that is all pervasive, right? That fills everything, but which is the size of the thumb in terms of your contemplation. That one is like a flame. Let's say like a flame, jyotihi. Jyoti means flame or light. Like a flame, we say flame because of dhumaka. Mm-hmm. Like a flame that is free from smoke. That purushaha, which is like a flame which is free from smoke, that is the size of a thumb. Ishanaha bhutabhavyasya. That one is the Lord of the past and the future. And that one alone is here now, adhyaha. Mm-hmm. He is here today. Mm-hmm. Saha, he indeed is adhyaha, here now, idanim now. Adhya means today. Mm-hmm. Shankara says idanim. Adhyaha, idanim means now, right? Today is now. Mm-hmm. So saha eva adhya, saha u shuha. And that one definitely also, u, will be shuha, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He is here now. He will be here tomorrow, right? Etad vaitat. So, there's something, just to understand a little bit about the commentary here, how this often happens, because a lot of this is sometimes in Vedic Sanskrit, or there's something that, an anomaly, something unusual taking place in the Sanskrit. And Shankara will always point that out. So what he says here is he takes the first, Angushta matraha purushaha. Fine. Then, jyotihi eva adhumakaha. Jyotihi is really from jyotis, and it's a neuter noun, right? Mm. Adhumakaha is an adjective, mm. and it should be neuter also, mm. but adhumakaha is masculine. Mm. So he says, you're taking this neuter noun, jyotihi, just because it ends in an e doesn't, it's jyotis. And it's a neuter noun. So it should be, he says, jyotihi eva adhumakaha. Adhumakam it is proper. Mm. See how he says adhumakaha? Mm-hmm. Then he says adhupakam iti adhumakam iti uktam. That is what is proper. Because why? Jyotish paritvat. Because it follows jyotish. Mm. Jyotish is neuter. It follows that as an adjective, is what they mean, and therefore it should be saying adhumakam. Mm-hmm. He will always point that these type of, these little anomalies or these little strange differences, sometimes they're usually, he'll say chandasa or something, it's from the Vedas. So then he says, now what he says, because we're at this Angushta Matra, this Purusha is found by the yogis, is perceived in the heart by the yogi. So what he says here is yaha tu evam lakshitaha yogi bihi hridaya ish hridaye, it should be sandhi. So he says that purusha who is the size of the thumb, he says, is perceived lakshitaha, is perceived in this manner by the yogis in the heart, right? He says, Ishanaha bhutabhavyasya saha nityaha kutastaha adya idanin. So the one who is perceived in the Angushta Matra by the yogis in the heart, you know, he's perceived in the heart by the yogis, That one is Ishanaha Bhutabhavyasya. That one is the Lord of the past and future. And he says, and that one is Saha, that self, that Purusha, is Nityaha, is eternal. Right? So he says, eternal. Eternal means what? Eternal means, I mean, timeless. Means it is Kutastaha. Kutastaha means changeless, the changeless Adhishtana. It has, Kutasta has two meanings, really. Kutastaha can be that which is abiding there like an anvil. An anvil means you can pound on it, pound, things go changing on top of it, it itself doesn't change. The other meaning for Kutasta, it's abiding there in Maya, right? Mm-hmm. In Mitya. The same thing, itself does not change. So it has these twofold meaning. So this Kutastaha, this self, the Purusha, Saha Atma, Purushaha, is Nitya, timeless, Kutastaha, free from change. And Adya, today, means Idani, now. So that self, now. Pranishu Vartamanaha, abiding in, existing in all of the pranis and all of the jivas. That very one, U Saha, U also, Shwaha Api, Vartayishate, will be there tomorrow. That very one also will be there tomorrow. And so now Shankara adds a meaning to that, you know. So he'll be there tomorrow, but what else is being said? So he says, Na anyaha tatsamaha anyaha cha janishyate. He says, Na anyaha tatsamaha. There is nothing like that one. There's no other. There's na anyaha. No one else. Samaha, which is the same as that one. There's no one like him. Na anyaha tatsamaha. And anyaha janishyate. And there is no other one that will be born who is like him. So there's nobody like that, like the Purusha, who is the very self abiding in this Angushtamatra, and who is the very Lord of past, present, and future. Is actually, that also says something that's a beautiful enfoldment, that but Atma, Brahman, is the Lord of past, present, and future, because there really is no experience other than the present. But the present itself is infinitely divisible into past, present, and future, because Maya, you can always divide a moment, right? So you can never find the moment. So any moment is divided easily into past, present, and future. But Ishwar, the Atma, the Purusha, is the presence of the present. And so the presence of the present is the timeless conscious being, which is the presence of past, present, and future. And in fact, you never experience the past or the future. You only remember the past in the present and project the future in the present. So Bhagavan, the self, the Atma, is the presence of the past, present, and future. And so therefore the Lord of past, present, and future. The truth of it. The Adhishtana. Okay. So he said, there is nothing like the Atma, the Purusha, because everything else is Nitya. Everything else exists within Maya. There's nothing comparable in any way to the self that is there in past, present, and future. The one who is there today is the one who is there tomorrow. There's no change. There's timeless presence. So then he says, what he's saying in this other sentence. There are, there are some other interpretations that the one who is here now doesn't, this is not easily found right in here, but let me just try to explain this, what they're saying here. There are other philosophies about the nature of the self. One is that the self doesn't exist, that there is no self. The other is that there is no self other than this body, mind, sense organs. This is negating that philosophy that there is no, that the self actually does not exist. There is another Buddhist philosophy called the Kshanika Vijnanavadins. And for that one, the self is momentary. It only appears, like a the examples are like a candle flame. It appears to be ongoing, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's momentary. Flicker, beep, beep, bleep, bleep, consciousness, as Swamiji says that. Okay, that also is denied by the Shruti, right? Because the one who is here now is the one that is here tomorrow. And so there is no non-existence, because here this body is here now, but it won't be here tomorrow. The self is here now, and the self will be here tomorrow. The self, the Lord is the one, or the Purusha who pervades everything, right? Because as the very meaning of the name Purusha, that Purusha is the Lord of the past and present, is the one who is here now and will be here tomorrow. There's nothing like him now, and there will be nothing like him tomorrow, because he's not an object within the creation. You have a second thing. Any second thing is only mitya. Right? So that's the idea. So this last sentence is going into some other philosophies that are negated by the Shruti itself. And there's other places in the Shruti where it can be interpreted like that. You know, but that interpretation, the Shruti, that's a false interpretation, but in this particular Shruti, those false interpretations of what was not being said in previous Shrutis is being negated. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. So these are the two Angushtamatra verses.
Do you mean that this verse is correcting other Shruti verses?
No, it's a misinterpretation of other Shruti verses.
So this actual verse is correcting the misinterpretation of other
Shrutis that
intentionally.
Have been...
Intentionally.
Yes. Oh. Well, not intentionally.
No. I see.
It just is, if actually.
I see.
So if somebody were to say that, mm-hmm. that there is no self, mm-hmm. because everything is continually changing, mm-hmm. you'd say, and they're saying the Shruti, they're referring to a Shruti, so that Shruti is saying that. This same Shruti, is saying clearly what the other Shruti was also saying, but you have misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. Or what the Buddhist is saying is kshanika vijnanavadins, bleep, 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 bleep. This is negating. The Shruti is negating. So, something like that. Okay, I guess I just felt like doing the commentary on this. If you have the Shankara Bhashya, you know you do, it's... Do you have an iPad? Mm-hmm. These are all on the iPad. Mm. We can get them for you. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes it's nice, you know, just to start seeing exactly what Shankara is saying and go through it.
But is it translated or no?
That's a translation of it.
But of the Bhasha.
It's that book that you have?
Yeah.
Is a the one, yeah, that one.
Is that the yellow one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh.
You can always use that to help you go through this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. We have to give that to Denny and to other people. You put it online, right?
Yeah, it's online.
Yeah, it's online. We have to explain it to them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good thing. I didn't realize that. I like this one because it has
the... Well, that's probably got the Bhasha on it too. Let me see it. Yeah. Oh no, it doesn't.
No, well, like, it has a transliteration.
It has a transliteration, that's
it.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop there. Let's just have some satsang. Om swasti prajapya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim maheshaha go pramane vyashubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu Kale varshatu parjanyah prithivisasya shalini desho yamsho barahitah ramanasantu nirbhayah om sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayah sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet asato ma satgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amatangamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamadachate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha Harihi Om. Swamiji had an association with this Angushta Matra because the Angushta means the thumb, and in the Chin Mudra, this is that you know that is there for Dakshinamurti, that Chin Mudra. Mm-hmm. Brahman is the thumb, mm-hmm. and in the hand, the thumb is away from all of the fingers, right? So the thumb is. So when here, this is body, mind, sense organs, body, mind, sense, and this is the ahankara. So this is the ajnani. with the index finger identified with these three, the other three fingers. But for the jnani, that ahankara reunites itself with, because of jnanam, with Brahman, with the self. And so when he thinks of Angushta Matra, even though really what it's meaning here is that space of the heart, but that space of the heart which is the size of the thumb, but because of the Chin Mudra, we relate the thumb size itself to Brahman, which is kind of nice. You know, then you go, it's like you're entering into the Angushta Matra, which is Brahman. It's a nice association. Hi, Edward. I see your speaker is on.
Yeah. I don't remember Swamiji doing too much of contemplation using the thumb and placing it at different places in the body or the heart. Do you use that, or
He doesn't use the thumb as an image to place the self in different places. It's only he's talked about that in reference to that particular verse. But when he's done guided meditations, he has had you put yourself right on top of your head, on top of the head, you know, 2 feet above the head, he's done, in the middle of the room. He's done, you know, between the eyes and in the heart. But what's interesting is just to realize you have to have a sthanam, you put your mind somewhere. And so depending upon the type of meditation, where in reference to Maya, where in reference to the world or to your body, are you going to place your mind? Right? Because the mind is existing within time and space, so where to place it, where is the good place, and that Angushta Matra and the third eye are important places.
But
I usually find my mind goes to the buddhi, and the buddhi goes to absorption and knowledge.
But where? That's true. But where, in reference to your body, to the upadhi? Is your mind focusing on yourself, for instance? It's just focusing on the self, but if you were to look at it in reference to your body or in reference to the world, where is it positioned, the mind?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So where is it positioned?
It feels more like it's in the middle of my head.
It's more like it's in the middle of my head. That's, well, that's fine. It doesn't really matter where it is. Where does it? I just want to know where it goes. And now that the thing is that the Upanishads have different places. In yoga, they also do. There's different places to place your mind, your buddhi. You know.
But so the self is all pervasive. So wherever you were to put your mind.
Yourself is there. Yourself is there.
Yeah.
But then, where's a comfortable or a sthana that has some energy?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's an interesting thing. Like for in terms of the chakra system, mm-hmm. we usually use the heart or the head or the top. Mm-hmm. You can use the throat chakra too. These are the upper chakras, and so it's a different type of energy. Mm-hmm. You know. But that it has that energy kind of it gives some strength to the meditation, some extra absorption. Mm-hmm. But Swamiji will talk very little about any of that.
Yeah.
But still we should know, you know.
Purusha and Purna are related or no?
Well, no, I did say that.
You did. Okay.
It's called kind of like a Vedantic etymology, right? Uh-huh. So the pu of Purusha, Purusha, the pur, can be Purnam.
Mm.
Yeah. That's why. So Purnam anena sarvam. So sha, purusha, so there's a sa there, that type of thing. So the one who is filled by him, everything, sarvam purnam anena, by him everything is filled.
Mm-hmm.
So Shankara gives this little, we call it a little Vedantic etymology.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one for purusha is the one who, puru is city, the one who abides in the nine-gated city. Which is the five? Which is the five sense organs? Where is it? 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
The evacuate for evacuation. So there's this physical upadhi has 9 holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one who is abiding in that 9-gated city is called the purusha.
Mm-hmm.
But here he's giving the etymology that that is important for this verse to know that we're talking about Brahman, the Atma, which is Brahman.
Because Purusha can also mean a person, right?
You mean the jiva, the conscious being. I mean, just say in, what do you call it, vyavahara, if you're reading a book or something, just in regular, the shaktivritti of the word Purusha, you know, the immediate meaning of the word. It's just a person, a man, a person.
Yeah. And then you have Purusha and Prakriti.
But then that's consciousness. Purusha and Prakriti is consciousness. The Advaita Vedanta uses Purusha Bhagavad Gita, that are uses Purusha and Prakriti. But the Sankhya uses also Purusha and Prakriti. And the Purusha of the Sankhya, well, they're both, the Purusha of the Sankhya is the same as Brahman, except there's many of them. And they're all pure conscious being. And the Prakriti of the Sankhya is very much like Maya. The only difference is one Maya is Mithya and the Prakriti is considered to be Satya, real. The Purushas are, it's Dvaita, pure Dvaita.
Yeah.
The Purushas are real, the Prakriti is real. But the Prakriti unfolds in the same way as Maya. So we also use the word Prakriti, but we use it for Maya.
But in that philosophy, the reality of the Prakriti is not the Purusha.
No.
Yeah.
Everything is different.
Different.
Each Purusha is different from the other. They're all are exactly the same, but there's many. And the Prakriti is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prakriti is still made of sattva, rajas, and tamas.
Mm-hmm.
So Sankhya is pure Dvaita.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. it's really pretty. It's nice to just think about it also in the Sanskrit, the Angushta Matra Purushaha, the self, which is the size of the thumb, abiding, you know, abiding there in the body, is the Ishwara, is the Ishana, is the Ishwara of time and space, of past, present, and future. This, so it's a Mahavakya.
Yeah.
Very lucky. You're restless to go party or something? He has gone out after his dinner, and he can go out again. If he wants to, if he needs to.
You know, it's funny, once, this is sort of off topic, just a tiny bit, but Swamiji, I've heard him make fun of Kundalini and different things like that, and he was talking also maybe about the chakras, I think, and he said he looked into it. He looked into it. Because he really wanted to understand it and know about it, because he's seen pictures and ancient references and things.
Who?
Call from Fev.
So anyway, when he said that he actually found somebody who he felt really knew what this person was, what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And this person told him that it was an extinct vidya.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And he
really knows now. And he also said that even about yoga. The yoga shastra, the amount of yoga that's out there being taught.
I mean, hatha yoga.
Yeah. The potentially yoga.
Yeah. Extinct vidya.
Much of it is gone. The siddhis also. They're there.
Like there's
powers. Those are also there in the shastra and they're in the yoga shastra. But nobody really that's it extinct.
Because it didn't get passed.
It didn't get passed on.
Teacher, student, unbroken.
Yeah. It's not really there. Maybe some things are there but not anything like what used to be there.
Well, at least
Vedanta. Yeah. Vedanta won't go, that's different.
Huh?
Vedanta is different. For the siddhis and the chakra system and all that, there's a lot of practice and things that have to be done, you know, for those. This is knowledge, that whatever we get from the Vedanta already exists. It's just removing ignorance. That's different than working within Maya to gain a certain capacity. And that to gain those siddhis, unless you've gained them in the last life, that's a lot of work.
So then an extinct vidya might not lead to knowledge at all. I mean, the fact that it could just be a school.
Well, if it's a vidya that's meant to accomplish something within Maya, then that's not going to give you moksha. It's going to give you siddhis or certain skills or, you know, expertise in something, but it has to do with, but it exists within duality and it's something that you work for and you gain. In the Atharva, the Atharva Veda, the fourth Veda, it's mostly magic, a lot of magical incantations and formulas and things like that. And those, most of them, you chant those for 100,000 times or more. Wow. There's a lot of certain ways that it has to be done, certain number have to be done. And, you know, like you can do one. Swamiji has a book of them. he read a bunch of them to me. One is like that you'd be free of snake bites. You'll never get a snake bite. But you can imagine these yogis sitting on their their deer skins, you know, out in the forest, and to ward off certain illnesses and to gain this capacity or that one.
Interesting.
But they're surrounded. They have they're contained within a lot of vidis. Vidis are like rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those rules have
to be at a certain time, and a certain direction.
And those rules are all part of it.
Yeah. Forget that. Good for knowledge.
But still, I mean, it's all interesting, but it's all Maya.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How much time do you want to give to gain these certain capacities?
Yeah. So I wonder, it doesn't sound like they really relate to the sadhana chatusthya, which I can't say properly. You know, like we have the main sadhana Vedanta.
The Upayanishtha and Upayanishtha.
Yeah, and then we have the things to gain the Antakarana Shuddhi.
Uh-huh.
So those don't necessarily, maybe they could support it, or maybe not.
Depends. Oh, with Antakarana Shuddhi, anything can support Antakarana Shuddhi, because the Antakarana Shuddhi is your attitude toward that thing that brings about the Antakarana Shuddhi. It's not the thing itself, right? It's the way you are toward the thing. Like even toward your raga dveshas, how are you toward the raga dveshas? Are they unbinding desires or binding desires?
Mm-hmm.
So... Also, with the Antakarana Shuddhi, Dharma is maybe primary.
Non-negotiable, Swamiji has said.
Yeah.
Often.
without Dharma, nothing else works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a problem. Swamiji told a story once. Said, this is actually in the Gita home study. I don't remember exactly where it is, though. He told a story about this devotee, a Krishna Bhakta or something, who went to Swamiji. I don't know if it's our Swamiji, but as the story goes, he went to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, I really don't like this neighbor, my neighbor, at all. And he's been very rude to me and cruel to me and my family. And he has a lot of money in his safe. And I know that I can take that money from him. But Swamiji, if I get caught, I'm willing to take the punishment. You know, I'm willing to take the punishment. And so... In a way, whatever happens, I'm fine with whatever happens. You know, so I have a non-binding desire. Because I will accept the fruits of my action. You know. So can I do that, Swamiji? Because I was in the section on Karma Yoga and binding and unbinding desires. I have an unbinding desire, Swamiji. And I could really use that money, and the guy is a jerk. So would it be all right? I have the plan. I think I can get away with it, but if I don't, I'm fine with that. So really, I'm fine. So I just made up that story and told it, you know, to say, no, that's not going to work. Dharma first. Yeah.
Well, plus he didn't look into the binding desire of wanting the guy's money.
Yeah, but if you say, but that is a non-binding desire, if you say, I really would love to do this, but or have this, but if it doesn't work out, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a non-binding desire.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like to get all that guy's money, and
right.
But if it doesn't work out, I'm okay with it.
Then his problem was he didn't see that was a dharma.
A dharma. The dharma part's not going to work.
Right. I could see where that verse could confuse people, where they think, you know, the self is is an object.
The Sangushta Matra.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you need in the commentaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the self is the size of a thumb sitting in the body. Okay, everybody. Good night. Okay, good night, everybody.
I'm going out. Jackie, before you said, I'm actually a little bit hungry. You said there's a toast, or you said there's a cranberry bread?
Yeah, there's a cranberry walnut bread in that container there on the counter.
that's really good with coconut oil.
What?
I love that red with coconut oil.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have.
Okay. I'm smelling a lot of smoke. Is that true?
Yeah, there is some.
Yeah. Okay. But maybe.